I love to teach you mindfulness of breathing, anapanasati. How many of you never learned this meditation practice? Mindfulness of breathing. So all of you have learned this meditation practice. So I didn't have to teach. Anyway, I just go very briefly. Yeah? Okay, mindfulness of breathing in Pali we call anapanasati. Anna is breathing in, sanna is breathing out, sati is mindfulness. So mindful of your in breath and out breath is called anapanasati. Okay? So first is breathe in and breathe out. So how to focus your attention? How to keep attention? You keep your attention under the nose. What you have learned anapanasati may not be same as what I will teach today. So you keep your attention under the nose and be aware of your breath. Don't follow the breath, go up into the brain or down to the stomach. If you allow your mind go up to the brain and down to the following the air, then you cannot develop one component of the mind because your mind is still moving up and down. In order to reach one presence of mind, or we call absorption, jhana, we have to focus at one point. Or keep attention at one place, that is under your nose. Because the air should go in and come out through this place. So, for beginners, we keep aware of the touching point, where the air touches. This is because to prevent some meditators to follow the air going up and going down. But if you can get aware of the air without touching point, it sounds okay. At the final stage, we don't even forget the touch. Touch is not our. Touch is not the object of observation, but the air. But for beginners, maybe your mind will go up and down. So in order to anchor your mind, so be aware of the touching point. But if you are familiar with this practice, forget about the touching point. Don't care about the touching point. Then another mistake most meditators commit is they focus the air very strongly. You know, then very soon their nose become very hot. And the feet also become very hot. Then they lose confusion in the practice. So don't focus so strongly. Just like you admire a rose, you know. When you look at the rose, do you have to focus very strongly in order to admire this rose? It's not necessary. Just simply aware. Simply aware is enough. Don't focus. So I don't like to focus. Just aware. Just know is enough. Because the air is very subtle. If you put too much attention, you overshoot the subject. If you put too much attention, you overshoot the subject. So just be aware in, out. So for the beginners, you just aware breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. This is the first step. The second step is you aware of the long and short of the breath. Sometimes when you breathe in, it's long. Sometimes when you breathe out, it's long. Then you just know, this air is long. In in breath is long and out breath is long. Sometimes in breath is short, out breath is short. Just right enough. So the second step. The third step is aware of the whole breath. From the start, you want to breathe in, you know, breathing in up to the end. But up to the end doesn't mean that your mind go up to the head. You just feel the tension under the nose. But you know, breathing in from the beginning up to the end becomes very clear to you. Then breathing out from the beginning up to the end is also very clear to you. It's called aware of the whole breath body. If you get aware of this whole breath body, your concentration becomes different and different. It's just in and out, not in. Just in and out, your concentration will not go deep. You must aware the whole process of breathing. Then the concentration goes deeper. And if wandering comes, for example, after breathing, breathing out, breathing out, the mind starts to go away very fast. Nevermind, don't worry, Okay? Keep your attention. First, you know the mind goes up. Then, your intention to ask the mind to come back. Of course, your mind is always in the body, you just sit, regular mind. So, you have the intention to ask your mind to come back to the breath. That's enough. Don't struggle with your thought. You know your mind wander off, just enough, then coming back to your breath again. Keep your mind to come back to your breath again. Let's start again. So, in the beginning, the end will be, the breath will be a little bit gross. But later on, it will become subtle and subtle, smoother and smoother. This is a good sign. Gross air cannot produce concentration. Only subtle air produces concentration. Okay? So when your breath becomes very subtle, don't try to make it gross again. When the breath becomes subtle, somebody they don't know how to concentrate because it's so subtle. It's okay, you keep your attention. You still keep your attention under the nose at the same point where you previously keep attention. Then the air, then increase the mindfulness, the air will come back again. Don't try to let your air become gross again. And the attitude, the right attitude to observe the air is also very important. How you should observe the air? That's why you're sitting on the river bank. You just imagine you are sitting on the river bank and you are watching the flow of the water. The flow of the river. You just watch the flow of the river without doing anything. This is an important part. When you watch the flow of the water, you never try to change the flow of the water. You never have the intention, this water flows faster or flows slower. You don't have that mind. You just simply watch the flow of the water. So also, you must use this same attitude to watch the breath. You don't have to do anything, just watching, just observing, just aware. Just be mindful of the in-breath and the out-breath. That's all. Okay. So another important point, you should not pay attention on the cold or heat of the air. If you pay attention on the heat of the air, heat is the characteristic of fire element. We have talked last night. So if you pay attention on the heat and cold of the air, you are practicing four elements rather than mindfulness of breathing. So don't care about the heat, the roughness, hardness of the air. No, just know in and out of the air. And for the beginners, if you feel that the mind is so restless, then you can use counting. Count the breath. we call counting method. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Breathing in, breathing out, three. Up to five. Then go back again, in, out, one, in, out, two, in, out, four, up to five. Then go back again. Until you feel that everything becomes very small, then you stop counting. Don't count. So when should we use counting method? When you feel restlessness. When it's a lot of wandering mind, then you use counting method to stop the restlessness. Once you achieve that goal, let go of the counting. Then just aware of the breath, in and out, in and out. Then it's better aware of the whole breath, from the beginning up to the end. From the beginning up to the end. Okay, it's this instruction of how to practice mindfulness of breathing. Any questions? Anything you need my clarification? Any questions? Clear to you? Okay. First, you use counting method. If you just aware, that's enough. Because one thought, one mind moment cannot have two thoughts. So the awareness is one mind moment. You just aware of the thought. The thought should be stopped immediately. But somebody cannot see the thought stop immediately because the mindfulness is not stopping. So if you, the moment you're aware of this thought, it stopped already. It's just that you keep on thinking, So this one, just aware. Certainly if you can't because somebody feel, you use counting method to stop the restlessness. Okay, if there are no questions, we should start. Okay, good morning, sisters and brothers in the Dharma. So, there are two newcomers today, so I have to repeat what I said yesterday. So we continue practicing anapana, mindfulness of breathing. What's the meaning of anna? Breathing in. Pana? Sati? So your practice is mindful of your in-breath and out-breath. That's all. It's called mindfulness of breathing. So first, just focus. No, don't focus. Keep your attention under your nose here. For a beginner, please listen attentively. For those who have practiced for a long time, to strengthen your understanding. Keep the attention under the nostril. Don't move. Always, all the time, remain keeping your attention under the nostril and breathing in, breathing out naturally. Don't force your breath. Breathing in, breathing out naturally, then you are aware that air going in, coming out, going in, coming out at under the nostril. Whether the air is long and short, clear or obscure or unclear, it doesn't matter. Your duty, your responsibility is just aware. Just be mindful of your breath. Aware of your breath. After a few breathing, your mind may go out somewhere. Never mind, just know it. The mind has wandered off. Just know it enough. Don't react to your breathlessness. Don't get angry with your wandering thought. Buddha said, it's nature. It is mind nature to wander here and there. So accept it. Acceptance is very important. So accept the mind has wandered off. Don't come in there again. It's okay. If you are not aware your mind has wandered off, what will happen? What will happen? Seva, what will happen?
What will happen to your mind? If the mind wanders, I guess it will die.
Why?
Foolishly we live with us, not serious. Very good.
Goodness, so serious. Okay. When your mind wander off, if you are not aware, then you follow the thought. Just following the thought, then you are not meditating anymore. And then just following the thought, you know, follow all your fantasies, then you waste your time. Okay? So, important is to be aware, oh, the mind is wonderful. Accept it, okay, now coming back. You keep on wondering, some people, when their mind wander off so often, then they blame themselves. They blame themselves. At this time, you should tell yourself, I'm not an arahant. Huh? Only arahant has no wandering mind. Then you feel much better. So you must know how to pacify yourself, how to make yourself happy, and don't get yourself feel depressed. Okay? So the mind wander off, okay, you're aware, okay, coming back. Your attention, use your attention to ask your mind to come back to the breath. Then continue again. Then after a short while, sleepiness come again. Okay, what will happen? Sleepiness. How you capture your sleepiness? It's a moment you feel drowsy, quickly aware of that drowsiness. Drowsiness is just a mental state. Also, don't react. I hate very much this drowsiness. No, if you hate this drowsiness, you are reacting to this drowsiness. No, don't react to it. Just know, okay, the mind has wandered off. Because the mind is so difficult to tame. You won't listen to us. So we come here to train our mind, that's all. To train our mind. So when you feel sleepiness, just aware. Observe this sleepiness. Understand what is this sleepiness. Then please come to understanding. Then after some time, your mind stress again. Sleepiness has passed away. Sleepiness is also impermanent. It's gone. Okay, then come back to the breath again. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. After some time, the pain comes. Another obstacle. So we have three good friends during our practice. Number one is restlessness, second, slow and sober, the third, pain. Everyone has to face this problem, including me. Okay, so it's okay. Accept it, pain is pain. If you can endure, you forget it, concentrate on the breath. If you cannot, change posture. And if you want to look at the pain, it's also okay. But if you look at the pain, the concentration on the breath stops. Because you move the object already, your object changes. So your concentration on the breath, mindfulness of breath already stops for a while. When you come in again, you start all over again. So it's up to you. You want to look at the pain or so can. You do one, you continue, you change posture, then come back to the breath again. So for the beginners, don't follow the breath. Don't follow the breath going up to the head or down to the soul. Just keep the attention under the nose. Okay? Don't move away your attention here. And breathe naturally. This naturally is very important. You imagine yourself sitting on the river bank, watching the flow of the water. So when you sit on the river bank, observing the flow of the water, you are not trying to change the flow of the water. This is very important. You just observe whether the water flows fast or flows slowly. It's not your concern. Your concern is just watch, just mindful, just aware. Just know, oh, it flows very fast, or it flows very slow. Know it enough. So this method actually is very easy. It's very easy. You don't have to do anything, just watch. But our mind doesn't our mind doesn't listen to us. Huh? Our mind tends to work opposite with what we want. So it sounds very easy, but you know, when you put into practice, it's not so easy. Yeah? So for beginners, if you after few tries, you feel that feel restless, then you use counting method. Count. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Count up to five. Up to five, then come back again, breathing in, breathing one, two, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Up to five again. Again and again, until you feel that everything goes very smooth. Then just up the counting. Then concentrate on the breath again. Okay. And for the advanced meditator, please don't just pay attention on the in and out of the breath. You must aware the whole process of the breath. From the beginning up to the end, from the end up to the beginning. But still keeping your attention under the nose. This helps you to develop deeper concentration. If you just seeing out, your concentration is very superficial. But for beginners, if you can maintain this in out, it's excellent. You know, but for once, you want to make little bit progress. So you observe the whole breath from the beginning up to the end, from the end up to the beginning. Sometimes it comes very naturally. You don't force. If you can't see, you don't force. But I want to see it clearly. No. Just very strong self. Let everything come naturally. But you know what you are going to do next step. You know? But if it doesn't occur to you, okay. It still maintains in and out. Breathing in and breathing out. Okay? Beginners, anything to ask? Yes, anything to ask? Okay, then let's start.
Maybe one question. When you are dealing with it for the length of the breath, sometimes it seems to stop. The breath doesn't start right away. You just stay here.
Doesn't start or stop.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel I breathe in and then pause.
Yes.
Breathe out and then a long pause before
really
breathing in.
It's not enough. Just keep your attention there. If you breathe out, your mind don't follow the breath out, you know? Do you follow?
No.
Yes, all the time.
Long pause.
Yeah. Don't focus on the touching point. Your mind should not touch the skin. Don't touch. Keep a little bit far away. If your mind touch the skin, it causes a little bit tension. Don't touch the skin. Just now in and out. But if it touch automatically, it's okay. Just aware, don't keep your mind must touch. No. Just aware in and out enough. You try, you put into practice so you understand. Any question you ask in the interview, okay? So what's the first question? Who touched the first? Who make the consciousness and the breath to continue? Air? Okay, some more questions? Some more answers?
I have often thought that if you have a box and you have a wire, and the wire is touched, a light will come on. When you study the body, does it know that it's open or closed? And I think that's a rudimentary kind of consciousness.
What's the name of that?
Any kind of box. When you open the door, the light comes on. That's where the kind of consciousness. When you say, oh, you're asking a question, I felt the feeling you feel, or the feeling you feel, perception is aware of the perception. Consciousness as awareness of something else.
Okay. You keep your answer very wide. I just want to know what answer. Who cause the consciousness and the breath to impinge? Who touch the breath? Tension, no?
There's bodily consciousness,
Okay, so now you learn that. This is called contact. Contact. It's one type of mental factor. Mental factors of contact has the ability to cause the consciousness and the breath to increase. This is called contact. Okay?
Not a
Gandhava. No, not a Gandhava. Huh? Okay, second question, who knows the breath? Who knows the breath? Yes, consciousness. Consciousness has the ability to know an object. Aware of an object. Consciousness has the ability to know the object. So consciousness. Okay. Who feels the pleasant flow? Sometimes your flow of breath is very pleasant. Who feels the pleasant flow of the breath?
Body
consciousness. Body consciousness. Now we are all talking about mental factors. Observing mind is consists of all many different mental factors. Only then it can work. Only one cannot work. Feeling here. Feeling has the ability to feel the pleasant and unpleasant of an object. So feeling has the ability to has the characteristic of feel the pleasant flow of an object. Is the feeling I? My myself? No. The consciousness know the first. Is the consciousness I? No. Okay. Now the third one. Who makes a mark? This is first. This is not the something else. This is not the head. This is not the hand. But this is first. Who makes that mark? Yes, perception. This one already know. Perception. Make a mark. So that you can recognize this is the breath, this is the breath, this is not a hand, this is not a feet, this is not a nose. Perception. Is perception I, mine, myself? No. You all agree, no. It's non-self. Okay. Next. Who directs your attention to the breath? Without attention, your mind goes, just goes back. So you must direct your attention, come back to the breath. So there's one major factor, direct the attention to the breath.
Mind?
No.
Yeah?
Chetana? No. Attention. Attention itself. We call manasikara. Manasikara. We have yoniso manasikara, ayoniso manasikara. Manasikara is very important. Without manasikara, without attention to see something, you cannot see. Without attention to be mindful of the breath, you cannot be mindful of the breath. So attention is very important. Is attention self, I? No? Yes. It's not I, not mine, not myself. Huh? Okay, next one. Who made the effort to know the breath? You? You made the effort to know the breath? Okay, since you deny a person make the effort to know the breath, who make the effort to know the breath? Mental formation consists of so many things. I want a precise one. Yes, I give you an answer already. Effort itself. Effort, we have mental factor of effort, do you remember that? Effort itself, make effort to know the breath. So it's effort I,
no.
Mind, myself, no. So if you analyze one by one, your perception of self will one. Okay.
Who tells the effort to make the effort?
After I finish. You still want to know. There's a behind self, control everything. Okay. Who fix your attention on the breath? Your mind sometimes can concentrate very well. Can fix your who fix that attention on the breath? Who focus the
More.
More. No mental sector como eso. Only one effort. No.
Yes, yes.
Concentration, right. Concentration fixes the mind here. So your mind not wander off. Okay? So is it concentration, I, mind, myself or not? No, huh? You all agree, no I. Okay. Next one. Who plays the mind? Placing the mind, apply the mind on the breath. Vitakka, right. Application of the mind on the object, vitakka. Huh? Placing the mind, the attention direct the mind on the breath. Vitakka, application of the mind, apply the mind on the breath. So is this application of the mind a self? Your I, mind, myself? No. Huh? No. It's just a mental factor help you to put your mind on the breath. Okay, after placing the mind on the breath, you can sustain this. You can, you know, fight for 5 minutes, you can sustain your attention there. What is that? Vichara. Vichara, sustain application of the mind on the object. So you already experienced two jhana factors, vitakka and vichara. So if you listen your jhana factor, you must understand what is vitakka. Oh, vitakka is placing the mind on the object. So you all already experienced, but now you reach the jhana factor only. You already experienced what is vitakka, what is vichara. So vichara sustain your attention here, so your mind not wander off. Okay. Okay, another. Who makes the mind not forget the object? Right. Mindfulness. Mindfulness. They say, if you're not mindful, you say you're not mindful because you're forgetting. Huh? So mindfulness makes your mind not forget about the object. Is it mindfulness I, mind, myself? No. Huh? No. So you understand non-self now. Okay. So sometimes you feel very good, your body feel very light. What's that? Happiness? Happiness is feeling. Huh? Happiness is considered feeling. Feeling we have already talked about it. This one you may not know because you are not familiar with it. It's called lightness of mind. Lightness of mental and mental body and mind. No. Lahuta. Lahuta. Kita lahuta, kayu lahuta. So the lightness of mental body and the mind. This one mental factor called lightness of mind. So when you can concentrate without this knowledge, this mental factor will manifest itself.
Mental body is
like consciousness. Consciousness and mental factor, two together. So the lightness has two. One is refer to mind, to consciousness. Another one refer to mental factor. Not the feeling. Lightness. No. Just lightness. Not the feeling. Feeling feel the pleasant of the breath. The pleasant flow of the breath. Then who make the decision? This is breath. This is breath. Who make the decision? Perception? No. Perception is perceived. Now decision. Decision. Decision itself, just like effort itself, make the effort. Huh? Decision itself, make the decision. This is A, not B. Huh? This is breath, not the foot, not the feet, not the hair. Huh? So decision is also one type of mental factor. Okay? Then, almost done. Okay, what's volition? there is also wisdom for Gaudi. But in the concentration practice, wisdom is not so clear. Only when you go to Vipassana, Vipassana, who knows, who penetrates this phenomena is impermanent, is suffering, is non-self. Then how we answer? Wisdom. But because this is samatha, so wisdom is not the predominant factor. Only concentration, mindfulness is predominant factor. In this case, wisdom is not the predominant factor. That's why I didn't ask you this question. But when you come to Vipassana practice, if you can discern the phenomena, for example, your feeling, arising, passing away, then who discerns that feeling arise and pass away? Wisdom. Wisdom faculty. Okay? So it's not you. It's not you that penetrates the arising and passing away of the phenomena. It's the wisdom faculty. So sometimes you cannot see. Feeling, you see, for example, your anger. You see, anger lasts for so long, never pass away. That's why I often say, because your wisdom is not stopped yet. This means that because your wisdom is not stopped yet, not fully developed yet, that's why you cannot see arising and passing away. So don't blame yourself. It takes time for the wisdom faculty to mature. Okay, so it's wisdom, not I, not mine, not myself. So instead, when you are observing yourself without restlessness, without beauty, they are all 34 mental factors. 33 mental factors plus one consciousness. I don't want to give you all because it makes you confused. I give you the important ones here. So this 33 mental factors plus one consciousness makes up of your observing mind.
There is no mental consciousness.
What do you mean mental consciousness?
Mind.
So what's this observing mind? All this.
First,
so I did not ask you to know the time.
Yes.
Touch is principle. Even touch is called, it's also consciousness. We call kaya vinyana, body consciousness. If you know the touch, it's body consciousness. That's also consciousness. We have two types, body consciousness and mental consciousness. So if you know the touch, then it's body consciousness followed by mental consciousness. If you do not know the touch, there's no body consciousness, just mental consciousness.
The mental consciousness would know the air, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So actually, the four elements, for example, you think hardness. You think hardness only by touch. You touch your bone. You think only by touch, you will know. By mind also, you will know. Now you touch. Okay, let's go. Can you remember the touch? Can you remember the honey? This is my mind. The remember is my mind. Now you touch, you got tangible object. Who know the hardness? Body consciousness know the touch. After you let go, can you remember the hardness again? This mind. Now no touch anymore. It's mentally touch. So not only, for example, tangible object. Yeah, three. Tangible object including earth element, fire and wind. These three are called tangible object. So you can feel the hot. You put your hand in the hot water, you know hot. By way of touch. But now you think of hot. Now you see. Can you feel the heat? This by way of mind. So not only by way of touch, mind also can feel the four elements.
you didn't know or just imagined it?
The perception becomes strong. So there are two proximate causes. There are two proximate causes for the strong mindfulness. What are they? There are two proximate causes for mindfulness. What are they? There are two proximate causes. Two causes to make your mindfulness become strong. One is four foundations of mindfulness itself, themselves. Four foundations of mindfulness is to establish the mindfulness. One. Another one is strong perception. Strong perception. If you have very strong perception, for example, whatever I perceive is impermanent. So my perception of impermanent becomes so strong. Then my mindfulness also becomes very strong. I don't have to contemplate. Immediately I see impermanent. So perception is also mental, mental, not the body, not the touch, not the body detail. That's why I keep on asking you to, contemplate impermanent, to make your perception become stronger and stronger, then finally your mindfulness becomes so strong it becomes automatic. So that's 32. I will give you, if you want to know all the 34 German religious stuff, they are all 33 mental factors plus one consciousness when you are meditating. So this 33 plus one makes up this observing mind. So next time if you have the doubt, who is observing this breath? Is it I? If you still hold on to this I, then I will suggest you to analyze your mind. Like I have taught you right now. Analyze your mind. Who feels the pleasant feeling? Who perceives the breath? Perception. Who makes the decision? Who makes the decision? Decision. Who makes the effort to know the breath? Effort. Effort. When you contemplate effort, it's not I, not mine, not myself. Remain close. Take off. Turn it off.
What do you call the other mental factors that are in 34?
I beg your pardon?
You say 34 only.
33 mental factors plus one consciousness.
34. What do you call the other 52?
All are mental factors.
But
all are mental factors. Some mental factors are evil. It's the wholesome one. We have evil mental factors like jealousy, anger, delusion, all are evil, unwholesome mental factors. But now you're observing your breath. Your mind is in wholesome state. So all this unwholesome cannot come in. Cannot come in this 34. Every moment you are mindful on your breath, you are cultivating higher wholesomeness of mind.
But when I was practicing the 32 body
parts, when
I was putting my
attention,
I feel disgust,
like
aversion.
Good. That type of aversion is not anger.
It's not.
It's disenchanted with the body. It's not an anger.
When you contemplate how the mind and the consciousness and the mental factors are different, it sounds to me that they are quite similar. You get effort to see them. And
yet,
it's very difficult to graduate one from the other.
It's very similar, but gradually, decision. Make a decision.
But to make
a decision,
you still need a lot of
progress
involved.
That's why you need 34, 33. It's not only one. If only one, it cannot work.
So if
let's say only one effort, there's no attention, there's no perception, cannot work. That's why we need all this. And each one is very close to each other. That's why the Nagasena Arahanya Nagasena said, praise the Buddha. Because the Lord Buddha has done a thing which is so difficult to do. Just what is that? It's to define. This is vitaka, this is vichara, this is decision, this is effort, this is mindfulness, this is perception. Buddha is able to define one by one. That's why Arahant Nagasena said, the Buddha has done a great thing, which is so difficult to do. More difficult than you count the sand on the riverbank of Ganges River. This sand comes from which river? This sand comes from which river? Is it what Buddha has done is more difficult than counting the sand in the riverbank. And this way of what I told you just now, analyze one by one, we call one. This way is practiced by Venerable Sariputta, you know. And Venerable Sariputta practiced this one, and finally become Arahant. In Anupada Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, Anupada Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya. Venerable Sariputta, he entered into first jhana, then he emerged, then he analyzed. This is vitakka, this is vichara, this is effort, this is mindfulness, this is volition, this is decision. Then each one he contemplates. Effort is impermanent, effort is non-self. Then mindfulness is impermanent, mindfulness is non-self. Concentration is impermanent, concentration is non-self, one by one. Until you get disenchanted with all these mental factors. And finally, he attained Arahantship. Because you yourself now not clear about what is decision, what is, you know, because you are not clear about that destination yet. If you are clear about that destination, then you are able to differentiate. You can, but you must know it first. For example, you must know the meaning of feeling. If you don't know the meaning of feeling, even you feel, you do not know it's feeling. So you must know the definition first. You know, for example, you must know the meaning of perception first. Then only you can feel it. Without knowing the meaning, you miss up everything. So before you miss up, you thought it's a one. All this is in Abhidhamma. It's in Abhidhamma. So Abhidhamma is very helpful.
All the Arahants can be seen with Arahants, or only
the Buddha can be seen with Arahants? Not all Arahants. I don't know how whether they can or cannot, I don't know. But it's mentioned in Anupada Sutta, this way of practice is practiced by Venerable Sariputta. And I think it's also very helpful for those who still clasp to the perception of I, you know. It's I observing the breath. I see this, you know. If you analyze one by one, then the perception of self dismiss. Okay, I understand. Okay. Can you bring this paper and distribute it to them? If you want to try, no, I can teach you more details. cái gì không thấy nữa. Okay, you just have a look. No, not, I think they don't have now. Different one, different. The one is moment to moment.
Okay, thank you. The copy, I need copy.
No, you have it. I already sent you it. So,
I think the copy.
You can see, I can see, I can see. Send me for the step.
Yeah.
You find it. So, if you want to try it, no, you keep your attention on the breath. After some time, then you ask yourself, who feel the breath? Then you feel the feeling, feel the breath. Then you say feeling is not I, huh? Feeling is just feeling. Feeling has the ability, the characteristic to feel the present flow of the breath. Then you go back to the breath again. After maybe few 1 minute, you know, you ask yourself, who made the effort to know the breath? Effort is not I, not myself. Then you go back to the breath again. You must consistently take the object. You know? Then the mental factor become clear to you. Huh? After you analyze one, then you concentrate on the breath again. Then analyze, investigate another one, then concentrate the breath again. Clear? Not clear? Clear? Right. If you are familiar with this one in your daily life also, you know, you can see many mental factors arise in you. For example, when you see the poker tip, the first moment what you quickly analyze this, what is this mental factor? Then you know greed. Then you understand what is this greed? Oh, greed has a characteristic one thing something. And then you understand greed, the nature of the greed. Yes, okay, meditation. You can say you're talking about meditation.
So, even when an hour comes, can be stirring all the systems one by one, still
cannot control what?
Not control the systems, the contact, the system, right?
You know, cannot control this. How can control this cannot control, but he knows.
He
understands. Just you cannot control sun, don't rise. No, you cannot control. Yes. Just like feeling, I told many times, feeling you cannot control, but you can see it pass away. You also can see a craving arise and pass away. You know? Because we are not arahant, we cannot control our craving. So you see arise and pass away. To see something arise and pass away is much better than control it. Please remember. What you control means you repress. You know? You suppress it. Suppress it and then become you control it, then it suppress. It's not good for yourself as well. Why not you let it calm, then let it go. Let it come, let it go. Then you see the impermanency of the nature of things and also good for your health. You are not keeping something back in the body.
Suppress.
You can control the process by not giving
the attention and then
you
will not see.
Yes, you can control the process. For example, if you don't want to see me, what will you do? Yeah, you close your eyes. So if you don't want to see the process, you don't practice, that's all.
The reason I have answered on what tells the effort to make the effort is because I thought maybe within the 50, there's like a group of closed loop which they just use to that loop to the other thing.
No one gives to anyone. They come just the nature of the thing.
But there's no like decisive factor that tells everything to get it now. And something tells decisive factor to do the job.
At this process, no. At this natural process, no. But in the meditation, I want to make effort. Maybe. If you make, you ask your effort to make. But in the natural process, there's no effort.
And the mother
Again and again,
you have to give attention, or you give it and then by itself,
you will
be.
Again and again. Mm-hmm. But if you come so concentrated, then by itself, the attention will keep on arising. Attention is there all the time. This is what we call universal mental factor. Mental factors, some are called universal. Whether unwholesome, also it arises. Wholesome also it arises. Called universal mental factor. Some are not universal. For example, mindfulness, you know, the grid, you know, it's not universal. When you are doing wholesome, there's no grid. So some are universal, some are universal. All these are in the Abhidhamma.
When the mindfulness bring the attention back, does it pause to the attention, or is there what's the difference between the mindfulness?
Sustain attention. If sustain there, then you will not forget. Actually, that's what he said, very close. This one is very close.
Mm. But if I have that, how can I forget? If I have,
then you will not forget. Then you become mindfulness. You will not forget.
Okay.
Right.
And the mindfulness
become weak.
Sees that it's forgetting.
Yes.
And that's when
Bring the attention first.
First attention,
then appreciation of the mind, then sustain it.
Okay. Always first attention.
Attention, just like I said, when the mind goes off, attention to calm back. Attention is very important.
Then
appreciation of the mind. Place your consciousness here first, then sustain it. After sustain it, you not forget it. When you not forget it, it becomes concentration.
Many times.
Arising and passing away. All these mental factors also arising, passing away, continuously sustain them. Arising, not the same one.
Right.
Arising, passing away.
But the one sustained attention causes the next.
Right.
You just ask your mind to let go of vitakka.
Let go?
Yeah. Incline your mind to let go of vitakka, it will go away.
But how will it become
vitakka? Usually in anapanaya, we have vitakka vichara removed together. For most meditators, they remove together. It will come to a state, you know. For example, you are in the first jhana, you have vitakka vichara. After that, you enter into jhana. Before you want to go to the second jhana, you must reflect the thought of first jhana. You know? What is the thought of first jhana? Because vitakka, you have to apply your mind on the breath again, very quiet. You know? Have to apply my mind again and again. The mind gets very tired. So you know, first jhana is not so good. So you want the second jhana, which has no vitakka and vichara. So your mind says, you know, I want to remove this vitakka and vichara. And I want a second jhana, which is more peaceful. Then you come back, attention comes back to the first. Then your mind will go into second jhana.
And what will replace the
vitakka
and
vichara? There's no vitakka and
vichara. So
what is the replacement? These two mental factors gone already. No replacement. The mind will. For example, other concentration, also will fix the mind on the breath.
Concentration
becomes erased up. The degree of concentration raised up. Vitaka Vichara, you remove the degree of concentration raised up, up to the second jhana concentration.
When there's something coming,
sensors,
and I don't like or don't
something of what
something anymore. Yes, if someone asks me to do something and I'm very uncomfortable with it, I just freeze up and it feels like I've put up a wall. It's like I've shut my wrist down.
What
mental factors is involved in that?
What mental factors? It's type of unwillingness. Because sometimes certain mental factors have degree, more higher degree, you know. Just like concentration, you breathe it here, you also got concentration, but the degree is, not up to the jhana concentration yet. I think this one is a bit of.
Give you another example. My daughter, she was a special needs child, and she said, I want this. And finally, she said, stop, you know, give me a break. I said, too much. And she was just so intense, more and more.
So you stop, you don't want it.
I think we don't have the specific
mental factor for this one, but it may be due to the wisdom faculty. Your wisdom faculty know where to stop. You also don't have wisdom. If not, you tire yourself.
So
wisdom also covers very wide range. Wisdom of understanding the teaching, wisdom of penetrating impermanence, wisdom to know what's right, what's wrong, all these are wisdom. Anything else?
If I don't like something, certain things I don't like, it comes to my mind, the things which I don't like to think. Why is that?
It comes to your mind?
Yes, like I don't like worms. I see them sometimes in my mind because I don't want to. That's not something I want to see.
I don't know. I must ask the Buddha. But it's not so important. Not so important. All this not so important. Important, put all this in the practice. Yes, I answered them already. No. You pay attention on the breath, then you analyze one by one. What is effort? You feel the effort. Then after that, you concentrate on the breath again. Then another one, what is decision? Then you feel the decision. Then always go back to the breath. Always go back to the breath. Then analyze another one. After you recognize that one, then go to another one again. You must always come back to the breath. Only.
Right.
So this mental factor is important, this belief of mindfulness. And also to understand other people. If you can know that your mind becomes very sharp, you know other people well. You know yourself well, you know other people well.
A room there full of many unpleasant things. And you walk into that room, you don't make much bad karma because you have aversion to the unpleasant sensation, the unpleasant feeling.
It's very minor karma.
But if you go in there and you are mindful and you have a burden, then is this minor good karma?
Yes. If you are mindful, mindfulness is wholesome mental state.
But if you're facing the burden, a burden,
then you are doing good and bad, good and bad, good and bad, alternatively.
But can you just be mindful that there is no more burden?
Sure, of course.
What is the mindfulness
of? You are mindful of that state. That, you know, the moment you have mindful, although the anger is an unwholesome state, but because mindfulness is a wholesome state, so mindfulness has took over the, your anger. So at that time, your wholesome state arrives successively. Anger becomes the opposite only. It does not affect you anymore because of the power of the mindfulness.